Hey, it's Steve Zahotke.
And I'm Jeff Orlowski.
And this is the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast.
On 105.7 FM, thefan.com.
What is the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the Packers, your favorite team. We're going to talk about the latest news and also give you a little history. So when we talk about the draft, we're going to talk about this year's draft. But we're also going to talk about some drafts in the past. And how they, you don't like this year's draft. Well, we're going to tell you about a couple draft picks in the past that are just make you cry.
There's been a few, that's for sure.
There certainly has. So, I'm Steve Zahotke. I'm the racing guy at 105.7 FM, The Fan. But I am also a big fan of the NFL. In fact, when September comes around, the NFL goes to the top TV, and maybe NASCAR and some of the other races go to TV number two. Now, Jeff, do you have two TVs at home?
I do not.
You don't have them stacked up on the wall like I do?
You know how much money I make here. I have one TV, Steve, one TV in the room that I watch.
And thanks to ABC Audio Video, they were nice enough to have them installed. Of course, I paid them, but they gave me a little bit of a break because I work here at 105.7 FM, The Fan, but they did a fine job hooking those babies up. But now I'm looking at those two TVs thinking, maybe we can slip in another one. We could go to maybe three or four.
That's the way to go. You should also add in a sports bar. Where are we? Are we talking in your living room?
I am upstairs in the living room. I have a gaming room downstairs, so when kids and that come over and you can do Xbox and that, which we do. My buddy brings his kids over, and when you're young, a three hour Packer game or just another football game can be, you can lose your train of thought. You got to run around, do stuff, and the Xbox downstairs does just fine for them.
Yeah, if it gets the kids out of the way so you can pay attention to the game and everything like that, it's got to help. It's got to help. I would love to have two TVs. My wife has said no chance. So as of now, I don't have it. But I'm hoping I've got, my youngest, I got 13 years until hopefully I'm an empty nester. and then I can, then I'll have 100 TVs.
100? I don't think you have 100 TVs, but...
Oh, just wait.
So, let's talk about the Packers draft.
The beloved. Yeah, so they trade
let's
out...
Start, yeah, should
they,
we start?
Yeah, they trade let's, out of 14.
And were you panicking?
Absolutely, I was furious.
Did I text you? I know I texted Sparky. Oh, no, it's another Ted Thompson.
Yeah, I didn't say Ted, but I was furious that they traded out. And then 20, 30 short minutes later, then they're on the clock because they trade right back up. So they end up moving from 14 to 18. And according to all reports, they obviously took Jaire Alexander out of Louisville. And according to all reports, that was the guy that they had their sights on in the first place.
Right.
So they trade down four spots with New Orleans, pick up a New Orleans first-round draft choice for next season, and still get their guy. So it's hard to say that wasn't a good move for the Packers.
It's a little frustrating, but it is a new regime. But it's no NFL team has taken more defensive backs in the first two rounds of the past five drafts than the Packers.
Yeah, and our secondary is still awful.
You think it's awful?
Absolutely awful. When you're banking on Devon House.
I don't think you are, though. See?
Well, not anymore after this
draft.
Right,
after this draft, you're not.
But, okay, so you take the two that we took in the, one in the first, one in the second round this year, but you take those away. So going into this draft, we took the most out of the last 4 years, and our secondary is horrible.
And we'll talk more about that because I think Tremont Williams had some interesting thoughts regarding your buddy.
Yeah, Dom Capers.
Dom.
Yeah, he did have some good thoughts on that. But, okay, so obviously then in round two, the Packers, they take Josh Jackson, cornerback out of Iowa. Now, there's a lot of people that are saying that the Packers have fixed their defensive backfield because of the Alexander and the Josh Jackson pick. And I say, hold your horses. We saw this a couple short years ago with Randall and Rollins, and that didn't work out.
I guess the question you have to ask yourself, were they expecting Josh Jackson to be there?
No, obviously they weren't. A lot of people had Jackson going in the top 15. For them to take him all the way at number 45 overall, and yes, he ran a slow 40 time, but the value was there.
Well, and any of us that, you know, live in Wisconsin, you know, you're most likely a Wisconsin Badgers fan, you've seen a lot of Josh Jackson over the last couple of years in the Big Ten, and the kid's a ball hawk.
Yeah, he is.
I remember watching some of those Iowa games and thinking, boy, this guy would look good in a Packer uniform. Here he is.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to see that chance. But, I thought it was interesting on two fronts, because you're wondering, you know, you always hear, well, we pick the best player available. So you're thinking with the first pick, they're picking for a need. But with Josh Jackson, is that pick for need, or was that the highest? Is that the next highest player that, you know, highest rated player?
I think it's both. Available. I think it's both. I think Josh Jackson obviously fills a need because the secondary, we lived through this for years now and see how they get torched all the time. We've got no one that can keep up with anybody from Atlanta. You know, they get smoked. So it is a need for sure. But I do also think that he was the best player available. So they shot two birds with one stone.
It was interesting with round three, Oren Burks from Vanderbilt, and the easy, you know, the way, you know, the smart asses out there, they're the ones going, ooh, football powerhouse Vanderbilt, you know. And yeah, how many people from Vanderbilt are in the NFL? But you can see which way Gutekunst is going in that speed. And that's the direction of the whole league.
Yeah, and the speed is there. The size is there. You know, am I going to act like I know everything about this kid? No, because I don't. I didn't watch much Vanderbilt college football this last season. Forgive me. But, the tape that I've seen on him and, you know, what you hear is that he could be an impactful player. So we'll see. We'll see. I can't say whether that's going to be a hit or a miss. You know, none of these picks, nobody knows if it's a hit or a miss. All these draft grades they give out and all this stuff. I'm looking on Sports Illustrated. Now they give this pick a B+. They gave the first and second round, Alexander and Josh Jackson, all B+.
There's all, you know, there's every, but every, have you ever seen, I'm sure there may be out there, but I mean, how many C- or D+, you know, D's do you see out when somebody drafts? Because nobody really wants to make their commitment.
Well, yeah, it's very
there's
rare.
There's been busts, especially in the later and second rounds, you know. So, you know, the grades, I was watching somebody and somebody said, I don't give grades because it's stupid to give out grades. I just give out opinions. And that's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
I had these guys graded higher than your guys. That's what it is.
You can't give out a legitimate grade until 3 or 4 years after the draft. And that's when you know if you had a good draft, a great draft, a bad draft, or you just crapped the bed. So it, you know, it takes a while on these guys, especially in the NFL.
Somebody like Kenny Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's a bust. Well, wait, kid was, you know, barely 20 when we drafted him. And now you're like, oh, okay. Now we're seeing some progress. Now we're seeing what they saw when they scouted him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not calling him Giannis, but when the Bucks drafted Giannis, they were looking years down, and I think a little bit with Kenny Clark. I'm not saying he's the same as Giannis, but
right.
I think what they saw at UCLA, they saw glimpses, and it's finally starting to catch. You know.
Yeah, it's a perfect point, and especially with football. You know, you get some of these kids, they come into the league undersized. They need to sit there and hit the weight room. They need to put on weight. No offense, a lot of these kids aren't the smartest people in the world, so it takes them, especially some of them, to longer to learn the playbook and stuff like that. Not casting dispersions on any one guy or whatever. It just, that's how it goes. And so that's part of the reason why you don't know.
All right, I want to do all I want to do the wide receivers together, because I thought this was kind of interesting. They drafted three wideouts.
Oh, that's it?
Only. And, of course, the fourth round, they picked Jamon Moore from Missouri. Okay. What's your opinion of him?
I don't know.
Well, you hear a 4.6,
yeah,
and you go, But then he's one of these, he plays faster. So
it's nice, because with all the wide receivers,
he's quick. He's not fast.
With all the wide receivers that they drafted, the height is there. We've had short wide receivers for so long that now it's great to finally see some guys over 6 foot be drafted as a wide receiver.
Well, that's Marquez Valdes-Scantling from South Florida. Yeah, there you go again. He fits that profile. And then
Equanimeous St. Brown,
who I think is the best of the three.
Yeah, a lot of people think so. And
I was joking with my wife about, we're looking at the names.
Mm-hmm.
and she's doing other stuff. She's not watching the draft, thankfully. I don't think I want to be married to a wife that would watch the draft with me.
Sitting there smoking a cigar.
So
pass the scotch, Steve.
I could check out this guy, And then they brought up his dad, Mr. Universe. And so she's like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, seconds later, Packer draft, I'm like, they drafted him.
Yeah.
And I remember Notre Dame's on TV all the time. There again, I'm watching Notre Dame guys, and I'm seeing this big stud out there. I'm going, he would look good. I didn't think at that point they were going to get rid of Jordy. I was thinking that Cobb might be going.
Right.
But I figured one of those two were going to go. I'm thinking, this guy would look good in a Packer uniform. Boom, there we go. There he is. And I'm thinking, and I'm reading the scouting reports and everything, and I'm thinking, this guy should have went in the fourth round.
Yeah. There's some red flags on him. But, the fact that coming out of Notre Dame, with now that we have DeShone Kizer in the quarterback rotation, he's got familiarity with him. So say good old Equanimeous does not come out of training camp on the main roster, say he's a practice squad guy or something like that, he's going to get reps and be comfortable with DeShone Kizer. It's going to help both of those guys progress into the NFL. So,
okay.
Is he going to be the best out of the three? I don't know, but he definitely has a shot.
All right. We're going to admit something here. With the exception of maybe Baby Tausch, I'm not going to grade Cole Madison out of Washington State, because he's an offensive lineman. I mean,
he looks the part. He looks like a Packer.
And I like when they draft guys third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. I think those are real value picks, and you can get, and the Packers have been done very well in those rounds with offensive linemen. I always get, you see these offensive linemen, unless he's going to be somebody, a Hall of Famer.
Orlando Pace
or
something like that. Those can't miss guys.
Right. Then I don't want to screw around with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, he looks the part.
It's a good pick. Yeah, he looks the part.
He looks like a lumberjack. He's 4 foot wide. So, we'll see.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they do, like they did last year, bring in a free agent later just to take a look at and see where they're at with them. Now, here's the elephant in the room. J.K. Scott, punter, Alabama.
Yeah.
Did your phone blow up when they made that pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I hated it then. I hate it now. But there's another pick I hate worse that we'll get to later.
Let's talk about it. You talk about the long snapper.
Yeah, good old Hunter Bradley out of Mississippi State.
Here's the way it was explained to me. You're saving a lot of money. You're gaining a lot of cap space, and instead of doing the frantic free agent, calling guys up, and then because you can get outbid when you're when they're calling up those free agents, you know, actually in some ways it's better to be a free agent and pick your team,
right,
than it is to, you know, be that seventh round pick,
right.
So one school of thought I heard is that they had all these picks, you know, that because they had all these picks, we want this long snapper. Let's just get him now. Boom, we're done. We don't have to, when we go and get our free agent guys, we can grab, let's see who we get. But we want this guy. Let's get him. The same thing with the punter. With all the picks that they had, you know.
My point, though, is that I go back to, just because that they were draft picks does not mean that you're going to hit on these guys.
Right.
So now say that this Hunter Bradley in the seventh round, say J.K. Scott, number 172 overall.
I think I heard something, 182 snaps without a miss from the long snapper.
And that's great. Okay.
He never missed.
And that's great. And we we saw the problems in the kicking game when Brett Goode went down with an injury. Crosby started missing kicks. The chemistry wasn't there and everything like that.
And this J.K. Smith, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree with this, but this kid's an athlete. And supposedly, as a holder, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be an athlete, but this kid could just be a special teams player, from some of the scuttlebutt I heard from Alabama.
Okay, I don't.
We're not drafting him to make tackles on, you know. That's why.
Right.
That's why we shouldn't be drafting a punter in the fifth round. Would it be better if we maybe would have gone up? Let's see, from the fifth round, maybe traded a couple picks, maybe pick another guy in the fourth round, and then maybe trade back to have an extra pick in the seventh round, and then grab that punter and long snapper in the seventh round? Because don't forget, another punter was picked
right
after Scott.
Right after we picked J.K. Scott, there was a run on punters. Now, but my thing is, as bad as that sounds, now my thing is, though, is that, so you spend a fifth-round pick on a punter. You're the Green Bay Packers. You have the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't care if the punter is that good. You pay Aaron Rodgers to flip the field position. Now, I know passes get dropped, penalties happen, stuff like that. You got to boot the ball away.
I suppose they're saving almost $1 million or over $1 million in cap space by doing this with the long snapper.
Great.
By slotting them in. Now they are saving some money, nominal money, because what's his name was only a second year player, Justin Vogel.
Vogel, yeah.
So they're not saving much, but they are, okay, that is more money they can save.
Great. You know, I don't see it. I don't see it. You pay Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFL, to flip the field position.
So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers real quick. This is pretty easy, isn't it? I mean,
no, it's not. It's tough.
Well, okay, let's and here's, I think, what Rodgers, and if I'm Rodgers, this is what I'm doing. I'm waiting for the Matt Ryan deal, right?
Now, well, he's going to get more than what Matt Ryan got.
Right, because he's got, okay, Matt Ryan, $46.5 million bonus.
Mm-hmm.
The 2018 salary, $6 million guarantee. 19, $10 million option bonus, fully guaranteed. Guarantee, 11.5. Wait. The option bonus is $10 million guaranteed, and then the salary, $11.5 million, all guaranteed. 2020, $20.5 million fully guaranteed. It's not until 2021 where it's not guaranteed anymore. And there's only a guarantee for injury only at signing. So it basically, it's almost like how they do with the first-round draft picks. Where they're kind of, and now, okay, you're going to be looking at this, you know, what Ryan got, and you're basically, what, 5% more? 10% more? It'll probably be within that range, right?
Ian Rappaport came out today and said that that the Packers and Rodgers are close. It's going to be about $33 million per season. He will be the highest paid player in the NFL.
As he deserves to be. And it was funny because when they were talking about this last year, I'm thinking $30 million. And I was thinking, boy, it'd be nice to get this done and just say $30 million. But...
Well, you projected out the $33 million ends up working out to be almost 20% of the Packers' salary cap on one guy. And granted,
but
it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but the cap will be – and I think they're going to make a – I think you're going to see this at the league meetings and that. They're going to have to make an adjustment for this because you're seeing this with – now with Ryan, with the Falcons –
Kirk Cousins got
Kirk
a ton
Cousins
of money.
With, you know, and we got everything is there's five or six teams that are in this going to be the same position what the Packers are going to be, and then there's even talk with the Cowboys
working out
with Prescott. So I think this is this is definitely going to be a trend, and the owners are going to say, hey, okay, this is the NFL now. We're basically your quarterback is going to be from anywhere from 15 to 20% of your salary, and everybody else has to be slotted in underneath.
We'll see. And, you know, I was a long time in the camp of give Rodgers, you know, just let him take out however much money, just give him a blank check and let him fill it out for whatever he wants. My problem, and then Leroy Butler kind of changed my mind, and I'm more now in Leroy's camp where – I would sit there and let Rodgers, he's got two more years left on his deal.
You can't do that.
I let him play it out, and then you franchise him, and then you can franchise him again.
Because, for one thing, Mark Murphy wouldn't allow it because it would cause such a civil war. It would be akin to you remember the fan base with Favre and Rodgers.
Yeah.
How it was split. I worked in the department of four. I work in a small department of four and at work. And it was the two young guys, me and my buddy Mike, we were like, you had to get rid of Favre. It was the situation. You got Rodgers here. And the two old geezers, and, you know, and I saw this. My dad was the same way. Oh, no, it's Favre. You can't. I'm like, we have to move on eventually at some point.
Well, at least you were on the right side.
You know, and I got an email from a guy who said this was the stupidest thing they ever did. The Green Bay Packers will never win another Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. This is the franchise is done. Holly got rid of it. And I sent him that email the Monday after they won the Super Bowl in 2010. It was the most satisfying email. I kept that thing just for – I didn't think they were going to win a Super Bowl that quick. But I just wanted to keep it there just because it was so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And the hatred. And it's funny how people kind of have forgotten about that. But that preseason in 2008.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy.
I was like, you got to be kidding. I couldn't understand it. And these idiots walking around with I didn't mind the Jets. Okay. With the Jet uniforms, you know. It's a different conference. The Packers don't have a rivalry with the Jets.
Right.
When they walked with those Viking uniforms, I was like, they should never be, I don't know how you would enforce it, but they should never been allowed to ever wear any Packer memorabilia ever again.
I agree with you 100%. I hate Brett Favre to this day. I will never.
I made amends.
I won't.
I made amends when he came back. I'm like, I'm not happy about it, but it's time to move on. And I'm like, you know, because you know what helped?
With the Super Bowl?
Obviously. But also in 2010 when we just wiped the floor with him.
See, I don't care about that. I hold deep resentment for him.
When
for
they brought him back for that second year.
Right, and he got destroyed.
And I was like, Brett, don't do it. Don't come back. That it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be this. And It was like, oh my God, you know. And that when he, you know, the Bears of all teams, when he was on that frozen field at the University of Minnesota field, you're like, oh man, you know, that's sad.
I laughed, and you know, I don't want to admit it, but I did. I hold a deep resentment. He held the franchise hostage for years. I'm retiring. I'm coming back. I'm retiring. And then, like you said, the Jets, I didn't care, you know, get out. I was happy that he was gone. And then the Minnesota thing was just a slap in the face I'll never get over. I do feel bad about laughing when he was in a crumpled mess, but I did. And I don't feel bad about it. I'll never forgive Brett Favre for that.
Let's talk about another one of your favorite people, defensive coordinator Dom Capers.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought this was very interesting when the Packers re-signed Tremont Williams, which was a surprise, but they were kind of stuck at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, there's no guarantee he's going to be on the team in September.
He's going to make the team.
But I think he
– I think he –
Devon
think
House?
I think he makes it over House.
Yeah.
You know.
It'll be interesting to see, but, you know, and we'll see. Anyways, I thought it was – this was very interesting what he said here. He goes, this is Tremont Williams speaking. I was here in the era when Dom first came in. When he first came in, the defense was modern era, and obviously the league had caught up to it. You have to make certain adjustments, and over the years, those adjustments weren't made.
Mm-hmm.
Have truer words ever been said?
No, and I don't know why.
Speaking of the defense,
why did it take A, this long, and B, Tremont Williams to see it? Because Mike McCarthy should have saw it 5 years ago.
At least, yeah.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
You know, everybody wants, you know, everybody is so strongly in the support Mike McCarthy corner that this stuff just boggles my mind.
Yeah,
because
it does.
We all saw it. We were all complaining about it for years and years and years. And he was so loyal to his guy. And finally, a player came out and said what all of us were thinking.
And I like what he said about the new guy, you know, Mike Pettine. He said, Mike is a really big addition. Obviously, I think the new scheme and the look at this defense is what we really needed. To bring in a guy whose defense has performed at a high level pretty much everywhere he went, from the Jets to Baltimore, even in Cleveland, we had a really great defense. So it's going to be interesting to see. There's probably going to be some growing pains the first couple games, and people like to panic. You know, oh my gosh, you know, don't forget the Saints, everybody loved, which were one play away, you know, from making, you know.
Knocking out Minnesota.
Yeah. They gave up 40 points that first week, and I think 35-plus the second week. They looked awful those first two games. But there was an adjustment period in that, so.
There is an adjustment period, but you better hope it doesn't happen, because you open up with the Bears, and then right after that you got Minnesota. And so, you know, if you think that Packers fans are going to freak out if there's a bad, you know, if they come out of the blocks a little slow, if you lose two division games coming right out of the box, now you're really behind the eight ball.
No, it's gonna.
But Pettine has had great success everywhere he's gone, like you said, even Cleveland. And, you know, obviously it wasn't successful as a head coach there, but I'm pumped. I'm pumped. I'm very excited to see his defense.
And it's always interesting when guys, whenever they move anywhere, whether it's a coach, general manager, they always bring their own guys in.
Oh, yeah.
So we caught Justin Vogel. Where does he go?
Cleveland. Well, Cleveland is right. Packers East.
It is, yeah. It really is.
It's Lambeau on Lake Erie now, and you know, they've got Elliot Wolf, they've got Alonzo Highsmith, they've got Randall,
yeah.
They got Vogel, they've got a bunch. So, you know, we'll see.
Draft day disasters. Every team has had one. I don't care who you are, if you're the Oakland Raiders, even the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s, every team has had them. Any sport, I mean, basketball, baseball, you name it. But ones in football always kind of, you know, stick out more. The Packers have had a few over the years, and we've heard the, you know, the Joe Montana, they passed on Joe Montana, and just it was a different league back then. he didn't have the scouting that they did. And the Packers were probably one of the worst when it came to scouting players. But there's a few. My buddy Bill Holland, I know from auto racing, he's also a hardcore Packer guy, and he had a couple of them here. I forgot about these, to be honest. The one he brought up is Rick Upchurch. Remember, Rick Upchurch might be a little bit before your time, Jeff, but as I was a young kid, I remember Rick Upchurch. He went to four Pro Bowls as a kick returner and a wide receiver for Denver in the 70s and early 80s. Green Bay considered drafting Upchurch in the 75 draft, but passed on him. According to the new head coach, Bart Starr, none of the Packers' coaches or scouts had seen him play college at the University of Minnesota. It's not like the kid went to Washington State, maybe Florida, University of Maine, or some junior college. It was a Big Ten school next door. Nobody saw him play.
Yep.
And they passed on him. Another one he brings up here, and he says, for those who consider Tony Mandarich the worst draft pick in Packers history, and I agree with him, he is not, and we'll talk about Mandarich in a second here. Consider Randy Duncan. You've never heard of him because he never played in the NFL.
Oops.
After a 110-1 debacle of 1958, Green Bay took the Iowa quarterback number one in the 1959 draft. Whose first year of coach was that?
Vince Lombardi.
Yes. Duncan went to Canada. Then he went to the AFL. He retired after the 1961 season and became an attorney. Randy Duncan, however, was selected to the College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. First round draft pick.
Yeah, that's painful. That's painful. Never play a snap. That's brutal.
Oh, that is.
That's brutal. There's been so many draft busts on this team, you know.
I'll talk about Mandarich.
Well,
I'm gonna.
You know, you select Mandarich. You pass on Barry Sanders. Anybody ever hear of Barry Sanders?
That ever happened to the Packers?
Do
you want me to explain?
Okay, yeah. I think I need some
Thank God to listen to this. Packers did not draft Barry Sanders. You know why?
Why is it?
We would be the frickin' Detroit Lions, just like they were.
No.
Because with
chance.
Barry Sanders, the Packers would have been at least a 500 team. Nothing would have happened. The dominoes of Lindy, of hiring Ron Wolf, reorganizing everything, probably would not happen. And they needed that kick. The Mandarich situation to just kind of shake everything up. Barry Sanders, can you imagine Barry Sanders in the green? He would have been a god here. Can you imagine him running through the defenses at Lambeau Field? They would have loved it. And the Packer fans of 1992, 93, 94 would have been more than satisfied with just Barry Sanders and the miserable fucks that were playing on the field at that time if they didn't make the change.
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point. But, you know, obviously, if they did make the change and had Barry Sanders and you had Sanders and Favre and the whole Wolf regime and everything like that.
My theory is no Favre, no Wolf. None of that would have happened.
It's a good point.
The fan base would have been fine with it.
Yeah, probably. You know, that's a good point. You know.
Give us another one, Jeff.
Justin Harrell. You ever hear of that guy?
Oh, yeah.
That poor guy. Oh, my God.
He looked. What did you think when they drafted him? You were thinking, he's hurt a lot in college.
Yeah, he's hurt all the time.
Tennessee, though. Tennessee at that time was still pretty decent program. And you're thinking, well, he's big.
He is big. He was big.
He should be able to move people, right?
You would think so. And all he did was get hurt for the Packers.
Yeah.
And just a complete and total flop.
It just could not.
It couldn't have been any worse.
Yeah.
You know, it was horrible.
And he is, and that type of pick, you've seen it. I can't think of the guy's name, but the Falcons had one that was very similar to Harrell a couple years before, and just never a first-round pick that just never really developed. And you get that. You get these guys. You know, I the guy that kind of scares me, it's a great story, Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
I know you go to the combine and you do that. You wonder, is he doing, you know, is dad's a football player? And I've seen this in auto racing. Dad's a race car driver, so I have to be one. And it opens some doors, and yeah, well, this kid's pretty good, but does he, you know.
Does he have the heart? Does he have the drive?
And to compete at that level is such, you got to go beyond what a normal guy can do, even beyond college. I mean, and you wonder, you know, that's kind of a, I would not have made that pick. I'm sorry.
I know. It's tough.
But it's a feel-good pick, and who's going to criticize it? Except for two knuckleheads in Milwaukee.
That never played a snap in the NFL.
But we'll see in a couple of years. Let's see. I'm sorry. If I had to say what pick is going to be the bust, I got to say Orlando Brown Jr. I'm sorry.
You know, legacy players, like you said, and, you know, and it goes in all sports, drivers, anything. You know, a lot of these guys and their fathers, you know, they did not come from fantastic means. And so a lot of these guys aren't racing or playing for their food because they were well taken care of as kids.
Sure.
Very rarely do you get an Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, 1, 2, 3, where these guys were all very successful. Eli, obviously, he's sucked the last handful of years, but he's still got 2 rings.
Right.
So, you know, so rare does that happen, which is why if I had a choice between drafting a legacy player or drafting some random Joe Schmo, give me Joe.
Well, thank you for listening to the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast. And as you hear other people say in podcasts, tell a friend.
Or 10.
Subscribe, and we'll be doing more of these. We're going to be going monthly until the preseason. And as the season warms up, we're going to warm up, and you'll see more podcasts come in. But we're not going to have a Green Bay Packer podcast once a week in the summer.
No.
It makes no sense. Or, you know, I just, no. But
you don't want to talk about rookie minicamp that
no.
just took place?
No.
Where the reporters, the only reason is for the media to talk to these guys?
Pretty much.
Hey, Steve, what are your thoughts about being drafted by the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm just so happy to be insert NFL team name here, and I'm just really glad that they took a chance on me, and I'm going to, work hard. What's the other ones they say? I'm going to work hard.
You have 110%.
Yeah, 110%, you know, all the same stuff.
Coaching staff is fantastic.
Oh, you know, I'm going to just study the playbook, and I'm going to just blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
So, no, but we certainly appreciate you listening, and hopefully there will be more of us to listen to coming up on the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, please.